Oh, it's time for you to get something off your chest. I can't imagine after last night what you would want to talk about. It's actually all week. Jared just came in and unloaded on us. I said, you go with it.
He's chomping. He's chomping at the bit.
You just do it. There's your show. Do it. Do it. He's ready. Are you ready? Godsmack tickets on the line, April 16th, Bridgestone Arena. Best you just made the list. Who or what has made you angry this week?
By the way, I did. You'll like this, Darren. I got approached by a couple Predator fans after Arvidsson got the hat trick on Tuesday, and they asked me, where could I go get my hat? Remember that was a you just made the list?
That I used.
Via Lindsay and Crispy?
Yes. This was on Tuesday night?
Right, because they were going, we have all these people when we have a hat trick. Lindsay was telling me this. We have all these people, when they get a hat trick, they come up to me and they ask me where they can get their hat. And I'm looking, I'm like, why do you think I would know? That you don't get your hat back. So, of course, these smart Alex come up to me after the 7-2. Everybody's in a good mood. Hey, Willie, can you tell me where I can get my hat?
So at least
I said,
they
I want
were
you
listening.
To go down.
Yeah, at least they were listening.
So I started laughing because at first I was like, wait a minute. And then they started laughing. I was like, okay, I know. Thank you for listening to the show. I said, I want you to go down to the table and ask Lindsay and Crispy that right now. I said, tell them I sent you down there because they will have the answer for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they did it. I got to ask those guys because that was pretty good.
You'll know when the next time you see Lindsay and Terry.
That would be good.
They'll say something to you if they did. That's good. All right.
So,
do you
thank you for listening, that crew out there.
Yeah, that's good. I forgot about that. That was fun. We had a lot of fun with that. I was glad to see a lot of hats make it on the ice.
When you throw the hat, you may get it back, I guess, but
there is a slim chance.
You don't throw it thinking you're going to get it back.
Unless you've labeled your hat, maybe you've got some stitching with your last name on the back. Maybe there's a chance the organization can give you your hat back, but just kind of know going in, if there's a hat trick and you throw it by a Predators player, you're probably not going to get it back. We've been down that road. All right, do you want to lead or do you want me to lead?
You lead this week.
Okay. I've done this before, but it's been a while. But I think it's time for a refresher course. There are three shows Monday through Friday on the station, correct? Are we all in agreement, right? There's Morning Drive.
Yes.
Let's go through the roster. Nick Kahl, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, correct?
Yes,
Chase McKay behind the glass. That's the constable. 6 in the morning until 10 in the morning. Then there's Darren and Donick. That would be us. Josh Upton behind the glass. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick.
That's me.
That's you.
Okay.
Okay. That's from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Then, who we just had a conversation with, Jared and the GM, Jared Stillman, and Floyd Reese is the GM. So he used to be a GM of the Titans for a long time. They're from 2 in the afternoon until 6 in the evening. These are all the shows on the station Monday through Friday. And we do appreciate all of you listening. But my challenge to you is, if you have a beef with someone, if you have a beef with one of the hosts, somebody has said something, if you want to take it up with them, that is more than okay. If it's me, more than okay. But what I challenge you to do, and I've done this before, is know your host. Know your people on your shows. Know your show. And if you have a problem with one person, do not lump that other person into the group or say that they're the one who said it.
Well, what happens sometimes is they say, on your station.
Yeah,
I heard you talking about this on your station.
Because here's the deal.
No, it was on your station.
You've heard me say this more than once. I, Darren McFarland, am only in control of 10 to 2 of what I say. That is it. That is the only thing I can control. I do not control Morning Drive. I do not control Jared and the GM. He, Willie Donick, can only control what he says on Darren and Donick from 10 until 2. And see, the same applies to each show. They only are in control of what they do in their time frame every day, Monday through Friday. So if Jared, I know this is crazy, says something that really aggravates you and bothers you, you can take it up with him. That's on him. He's on 2-6. See, direct okay. that to him. If D-Mace says something that aggravates you, it's fine. He is on 6 in the morning until 10. Take it up with him. He's on morning drive. He used to be a longtime receiver in the NFL and with the Titans. So what I'm asking is, if you have a problem, make sure you know who you're talking to. That's all. So if you're okay. that person. Okay.
You just made the list.
I like sometimes when the person gives an argument and it's completely the wrong show.
Yes.
And maybe sometimes you find out it's not even the right radio station.
Well, I wasn't even talking about that.
That can happen too.
Because I've said, you could say whatever you want, but it doesn't mean I can't say whatever I want back. And if you say something to me and I can't control what other people say and you think I said it, more times than not, I'm going to let you know that it was not me. And I'm going to let you know that wrong person. And I'm going to probably try to embarrass you. Know your shows. Know your host. If you have a problem, take it up with them. I cannot control what anybody says on this radio station other than me. That's it. Same with Willie. Same with everybody else. So there we go. A little refresher course.
Okay. Last week, I was on your list for my stereotyping.
No.
Some
I did
people.
Not say it was because of you.
Yeah.
I said you I was may in a be category. Lumped into this
category.
Yeah.
And so I was approached by a certain regular in the Predators press box who got a good chuckle out of that. And this gentleman does enjoy frequenting at time or two a casino.
Oh, really?
Yes. He works with you on the broadcast every night.
They let degenerates in the press box?
That's what I said. I said I did not ever use the word degenerate. That was my only cachet. I said, have I looked down upon some in casinos and done that from time to time? Yes.
Have you hinted that people that gamble may be degenerates?
No. Yes, I've never said degenerate.
Can't control themselves. Like they can't control themselves. Oh, my God.
Well,
be out of control.
Some people can't. Some people can't.
I know.
But I just giving you the satisfaction of knowing that some people were listening when you.
What did you say?
I just laughed. He was funny about it. So Bob Horner, if you're listening, so I heard you said something about people that like to go to casinos.
That's funny.
So today I'm going to go back to just another offshoot of people who have been on my list for a while. On my list a few months ago, I said whoever decided to let the Scooter Clan free in the downtown, the Scooters, I said it was just a bad decision. All right, this is not going well. Okay, and I just said I'm done with the Scooters. There's too many of them. They're all over the place. We don't know what the rules are. People are going to get hurt. I don't want to hit anybody on a scooter, and it's not exercise. Right? Just walk. You're downtown. You can walk or get a bike. We can deal with that. I don't like the scooters. So I've already made my peace in that. But on my list today is one specific guy on the scooter that decided last night, you know, come to the game, 17,000 people, traffic going on. You know, it's rush hour. People are coming, leaving downtown. People are coming in downtown. Traffic lights are backed up a little bit. It's regular traffic, right? So this guy on the scooter last night decides he's not going to go on the sidewalk because, you know, there's a lot of people walking on the sidewalk. Because that's why they built sidewalks, is so people can walk.
It's for pedestrians.
That people can walk on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
On this particular street, they didn't have a thick bike lane, which, by the way, was made for bikes. Bicycles, you know, exercise. You pedal.
Two wheels,
yeah. Not scooters. So this scooter guy decides, well, you know what? I'm a vehicle, so I will be in line with the other cars. So there's a car, and then there's scooter guy, and then there's me. And I'm just laughing, going, what is this guy going to do next? Because he knows he's in no man's land, right? If he goes up on the sidewalk, he's going to tick off everybody that's walking, right? He's going to have to God forbid you'd have to do this, get off the scooter and walk with the rest of the people. You can't motor through everybody, so what do? There's no bike lane. I don't have room to go down the side around all these cars, which he would have liked to have, but there wasn't room. So he's just going to be a car. He's going to pretend to be a car. And, of course, once you get going on that thing, we're going up a hill. He can't go more than about, 8 or 10 miles an hour. He can't keep up with the cars, and they're trying to get through because they don't want to miss any more lights. They got somewhere they got to be. So another problem with the scooters, okay? Another chapter in the saga of why in the world did we let this happen? Stop the madness. So to the guy, I had to laugh, right? I wasn't angry. I was just thinking, what's this guy going to do next? He's going to become a sandwich is what he's going to do. There's going to be a scooter sandwich, and he's going to get caught between the bumpers of two cars who aren't paying attention. So to the scooter guy who tried to pretend to be a car, a guy in a car.
You just made the list.
Thank you.
I got to be honest, when you first brought this up, I didn't understand. I mean, since then, I get it. I totally get it now. At first, when you're like, the scooter, I'm like, I'm not, you're East Nashville. I don't really see that. Now I see it. It is.
It's madness. It's a huge problem.
Madness. It is a huge problem.
When we went to D.C., too, it's madness.
I mean, it's just the thing. There's scooters laying around everywhere.
I know. They just discard them.
They just wherever. They just drop them and go. You're right. It is a problem. I hope that it's going to go away sometime soon. All right, your phone calls. Godsmack tickets on the line. Who or what is on your list? 737-1025, 737-1025. Your phone calls next. Godsmack tickets on the line. They'll be at Bridgestone Arena April 16th. But you have to tell us. You have to get involved. Who or what is on your list? 737-1025. 737-1025. Let's start down the burrow. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. First, I want to just comment on the scooters thing. I think I saw where a bus actually hit a guy on a scooter. I don't remember where I saw or heard it, but I think I heard that in a different
Is this
city.
A party bus?
Yes, actually, I think that was it.
I brought this up on the show recently. I was leaving the game, walking to my car, and I had to stop because they had the roads closed off because the cops were out there directing traffic, and I asked one of the officers, I said, what's going on? He said, somebody got hit by a party bus.
And I actually, now that you say that, it was here that I heard it. So, anyways, I am putting the Predators players on my list.
They what?
They need to crash the net. I know that there are some times where it is not applicable to be in front of the net, but you need at least one guy in front of the net at all times to screen the goalie. I just don't understand why they're – and they need to be moving around during the power play. It's like they just stand there, and I know everybody's been saying this, but they look for the pretty goal. You need gritty goals. That's how you're going to win. I'm still kind of stand pat where we don't need to make a move. Our guys just need to kind of change their game. They are not playing their game.
All right, Nate, thank you. I'm still standing pat, too, with how I feel about it. Yes, I don't think they should make a move, and I'll continue to say it. It's up to the players now. You asked to stay together. Front office has kept you together. Everybody's been paid. Everybody's got nice new contracts. Roman will be the next one we talk about. Time to go earn it. Time to go make it happen. It's on you now, and I'm not going to deviate that from last night's game. We've been talking about, by the way, it's something we didn't hit on. The power play's got to get better, man. The 28th in the league is just no excuse. It's got to get better. It should be better. 28th in the league is not acceptable. It doesn't have to be one. Winnipeg was third in the league on the power play. Nashville's 28th. It's got to get better. But they can do it. They're capable of doing it.
It's an untapped resource.
So last night's not changing my mind, just like Nate. I'm still saying – this team is capable of doing everything that they want, everything they're trying to accomplish, they can do it with this roster. I understand David Poyle's got a job to do, and he's going to be kicking tires. But last night didn't change my mind. Let's go to Jeremy up in Kentucky. Jeremy, who or what is on your list?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling in.
Of course, I live in West Tennessee. I drive a truck. I'm in Nashville area just about every day. What makes my list is the West Tennessee sports media, because they do not cover the Predators at all unless they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Imagine that. It's amazing, Jeremy, how many calls we get. Why don't you guys talk about Memphis? They talk about us?
No, they don't talk about Nashville at all except for the Titans.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
People need to hear that. How many times, Willie, have we had over the years? How can you guys never talk about Memphis? Did you ever talk about the Grizzlies or the Tigers? Well, one, we do. Remember the last time somebody said that? I was like, we just had your football coach on. It's kind of bad timing on that one. We literally just had your football coach on. But, I mean, they don't talk about Nashville. Are they breaking down the Titans very much? I don't know. Probably a little bit more
than
the Predators.
Good question. I don't know. For example, the local coverage in Memphis, when they get their regional game, do they automatically get the Titans?
I don't know the answer to that.
I'm guessing they do, right?
I would guess, but I don't – I'm guessing.
When they have the regional coverage,
yeah,
and the Titans
I'm
are
guessing
on.
Guessing yes, but I don't know.
And I wonder what kind of viewership they have.
I don't know.
Predators are a different story. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, we have learned.
I'd like for it to. I think it's better in terms of the level of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know now, you don't have to have. I mean, to get coverage of any team anywhere in the world. I mean, even your favorite soccer team, you can get coverage of that team on the internet. You know, so the local media is probably not your best bet if you want to get coverage of the Predators. If you live in Memphis, you'd probably just follow the people here that are covering the team, right?
Yeah. Is everybody just in a good mood? Nobody's been ticked off this week? I mean, come on, let's get going. Jeez, this thing is usually loaded lines the whole time. We can't even get to everybody. What's going on today? Gene in Lebanon, who or what is on your list?
Well, on my list, it's the old first-timer at the arena for a hockey game from Butte, Montana. That's you go up, and I go up to my seats that I've held for 10 years as a season ticket holder, and I go up to them, and they're sitting in it, and I go, sir, I think you're in my seat. And they retort, oh, I don't think so. This is my seat. Here's my ticket. So you look at their tickets, and sure enough, it's the right seat, but unfortunately, it's the wrong section. They're like two sections away. They don't know their sections. So you have to point that out, but you know, it happens all the time. Plus the seat jumpers too, that like to jump in seats until the owner comes, and they'll get off and go jump in another seat too.
That is a good one. The at the Predators game, okay, let's use this as an example, because mm-hmm. this is one of some examples right now of stadiums or arenas that are going to be full. Right now they're on a hot streak. I don't know if 10 years from now it could be different, 20 years, I don't know. 10 years ago, maybe it was different.
There were a lot of seat jumpers.
There were some seats, no. right? But seat jumping, yeah, and I've done it. Okay, I'm going to raise my hand. I've done plenty
guilty.
Of seat jumping.
We're all guilty.
Especially at Major League Baseball stadiums. I enjoy it. But you got to have
absolutely.
A feel, right? If it's a 50,000 seat stadium or 45,000 and the crowd is
25,000
or 25,000.
Yeah, you can jump.
You can probably say, you know what? I can do a little seat jumping.
Yeah.
I can start scouting it out. I know the tricks. And it's probably no big deal. It's no skin off anybody's back. But when you know it's going to be full, you're probably not going to be able to. You're probably not going to be able to seat jump.
You won't pull it off.
Well, how did it turn out, Gene? Was it, you know, did they make a big deal about it? Were they mad? Well, how did it play out?
Well, yeah, they of course people just hate to be shown up. I mean, because you know, especially dude with his girlfriend, you know, just kind of made him look like an idiot. And he didn't like that, and they'll give you a little smart retort. Then they'll jump in another seat or something. They'll go down the aisle, too. I mean, they'll do that and give you a real snarky remark. But, you know, you just kind of laugh at them. Yeah, but, yeah, that's it's kind of annoying. I mean, people pay attention. I mean, they got the sections marked off. If you go to the arena, you can see where you are. But I don't know. They're so. I guess they just like the view so good. They just figure they'll just take it. Maybe, hopefully, nobody will show
right.
up.
Right. Hope nobody shows up. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you've been to Bridgestone Arena, those sections are marked off. They do have numbers there.
Yeah. You know what? If you're playing the Capitals or the Jets, probably not going to have, you know.
Probably not.
Somebody's probably going to show up in that seat. Probably.
Yeah.
Just going to.
It's a good
the
chance.
Percentages. The percentages.
I don't know if
you've
noticed, but they've sold out. What is the number now? 130?
Right.
What is it?
We talked about it. When they had like five home games in 10 days or whatever they did, there was that one stretch. Then you might have a night where maybe an odd seat here or there may not get filled here. But generally speaking, your odds aren't good for the seat jumping. Not right now.
This week, Capitals, Jets, probably going to have everybody in the house.
Saturday night?
You know, probably going to be everybody in the house,
probably,
yeah.
Probably full house, yeah.
Curtis and Franklin, who or what is on your list?
My list is one of my biggest pet peeves is when people lower their intelligence level to try to make other people happy or to fit into an argument.
Okay.
And I am putting 80% of the local sports media on my list for that.
Okay.
I feel like, and actually me and you are probably more on the same page the most, but I feel like a lot of times people do that in this area to defend Marcus Mariota. And it just it drives me so bad I stopped listening to the sports radio for like a month and a half. You know, it's anywhere else in the country, I travel all over for work. If you had a quarterback that threw roughly 22 touchdowns in two seasons, they would be calling for his job and demanding that the team upgraded that position. But here, they just try to find all these obscure reasons to make excuses for him. And it's like nails on a chalkboard. Like, you've watched football your entire life for the most part. You can tell that he is not a very good quarterback. But yet people will still try to find the most weird ways to defend him. And those people are on my list.
By the way, Curtis, well done. You referenced the show. You obviously have listened. You know my stance. You threw that in there. Well done by you.
Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful day.
All right, you do the same. That's what we're talking about. Know your host. Know your show.
Well done.
That was good. And by the way, he's true. But you know what? In all fairness, I love our discussions on all the shows and platforms, and I love that there's kind of this big divide. But I don't want us to be Philly or Boston. That's what we love about living here. That's what we love about Nashville. We're all going to be, let's be this market. I don't want to be Northeast. Let them do what they do. But to Curtis's point, I've said it many, many times, there is a lot of excuse making. I think too much at times. Dr. D, who or what is on your list?
Chevrolet.
Oh, why?
And here's the reason. And I want to say thank you, PK Subban, for 24 rows from the ice in Little Caesars Arena 2 weeks ago today. But I roused some Red Wing fans off. Hey, it's what I do sometimes. I said this arena would look a lot better if they didn't have the Chevrolet logo on the ice and replaced it with a four blue oval. They got a little huffy puffy at me. I'm like, well, I can't help it. You give Detroit a black eye. You took the bailout money. You're closing five plants down. So Chevrolet's on my list.
Oh, all right, Dr. D. I hope you feel better. Didn't expect that one. Let's go to Rob. Rob, who or what is on your list?
I am putting Boudreaux on my list.
All right. Why?
Because he makes everybody from Louisiana seem like idiots. Boudreaux, it's tailgaters, you big moron. He said, he has to tell me three times there's no gator tail. Every time I hear that commercial, I'm just yelling at my radio, dude, what are you, stupid? Can you not hear? Did you drink some of that brown water before that?
So you've put one of our commercials on your list.
No, just the guy on the commercial. No, tailgaters is a great place. It's just, you know, it doesn't paint a flattering picture for us Louisiana guys.
All right, Rob, I hope you feel better. That's good. We like that.
All right, man.
Well done. Let's get one more in here. Josh, who or what is on your list? Final one.
So I'm going to get quick right to it. And I drive a big truck in East Nashville. I deliver beer, and it's about, you know, 37, 40 foot long. And one of my stops is a liquor store in a really small shopping complex. It's tight to get in there. I can't turn around in there. And I have to wait in the middle of the highway before I can turn in there so that I can pull in and box some spots. so I'm not blocking a car. So I did that. I finally get in. I get parked. I get out of my truck. I go to roll some beer. And a guy comes out of this little burger joint and starts looking at me funny. And he says, hey, can you move your truck? I gotta turn out and get out. And he's got plenty of room. He's obviously never driven before. And so I told him, I said, would you mind turning left and going and turning around at the other end of the parking lot? Because, you know, if I move this truck, somebody's going to take a spot and I'm going to be stuck here. And he said, no, I ain't doing that. And he flipped me off. And I'm just like, you know, dude, I'm just out here trying to do my job.
Yeah.
And this guy's just, you know, just filled his belly. He's feeling good and wants to, you know, cause some problems. So, and then his other buddies come out and they're taking pictures of my truck. And I'm just like, what do you want me to do?
Oh, boy. All right. Those guys, Josh.
You just made the list.
Hope you feel better, man. Have a good weekend. We'll get a winner. We'll come back with more of Darren and Donick on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Pick six coming up in the final hour. We'll have Metallica tickets on the line for this week's winner. Get ready for that to get locked into our contest. How about this story that's out there? We've been kind of scratching our head. We're wondering, should we go on the air with this? Is this real? Trent Dilfer? Going to be a high school football coach here in town at Lipscomb? What? That's what's out there. Trent Dilfer used to be a regular with us. Used to do two segments a week with us.
Well,
he's a Northern California guy.
I saw this morning for the first time. If it's true, what a great thing for our city.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great football mind. He's worked with a lot of young quarterbacks in particular.
But he has had that elite passing academy out there, right?
Yeah, I think he did.
Or did, yeah. That's maybe the past tense, better way to put it, I guess.
But it's another good example of just the city seems to attract interesting people.
Well, him and Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us every Wednesday, they're buds.
Well, he and Matt in particular. Matt
Hasselbeck, too. Yeah, they're
teammates for a long time.
And yeah.
You might remember Trent when he joined us on a show,
yes,
just really pouring his heart out, mm-hmm, and talking about how instrumental Matt and the Hasselbeck family in general,
yes,
but particularly Matt, were to him during the toughest times of his life. He went through some tough times, he said. So that was
well, that was
a really interesting thing to hear.
And he was fully aware of this.
So
he was the Super Bowl example, right? If Trent Dilfer can win it, anybody can win it. What do you mean Trent Dilfer did it? Right? He was the example that everybody used. And I'll tell you one thing that always stood out to me that we learned in our weekly appearances with Trent Dilfer, the quiet time. Right? He would talk about the quiet time. He said that's what the greats do that sets them apart from everybody else is the quiet time. We're like, what are you talking about? It's like it's all the work done behind the scenes that nobody ever sees. That's how the greats are great. Doesn't get any publicity. There's no cameras. There's no recorders. Nobody knows. But the greats spend a lot of the quiet time honing their craft. That's what makes them elite. That's what separates them from really good players to being great players. The really good players, they don't have near as much quiet time. When it's time for them to be done for the day, they go home. The elites, they stick around. They're there when everybody else went home.
Well, we enjoyed certainly our time. I guess what it was, maybe one or two seasons.
I think he did two seasons with us.
Where he was a weekly guest. He's a fun guy to talk football with, and he's done a lot of stuff to try to teach the game to others. So if he's coming to Nashville, that'd be great. But that was the first I've heard of him. I have no idea why it would be happening, if it's happening. But we have had great experiences with Trent Dilfer.
If it is happening, fantastic. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Lipscomb.
Definitely.
Man, how about that, to have him as your high school football coach? Wow. By the way, Kathy on Twitter did say, because I think Kathy has ties or used to live in Kansas City, so she's kind of our Kansas City expert slash former resident. She seems to chime in a lot when we talk Kansas City. She said, indeed, I guess the temperature or the forecast has changed. It's gotten better. Remember how it was supposed to be like 6, 10 initially, kind of going into that game? And they, now it is supposed to be in the 20s.
That's what I thought I saw.
So that is going to be interesting. So keep that in mind.
Not exactly Miami Beach, but.
No, but if you've ever been to Arrowhead in December or January, if you pick the wrong time to go, if it just happens to be when something's rolled through there, that stadium can be as cold as any stadium in the country. Man, it is. I covered the Titans when they played them in 2010. Remember that late December game when it just, fact, that was Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel didn't finish the game. They were up so big, they destroyed the Titans in that 2010. I mean, just mopped them. It was 3 degrees. It was freezing. And it was clear the Titans, after a while, they said, yeah, we're really, really cold and we just want to go home. Like, we're done. We're pulling the ripcord. We're out. And the Chiefs even pulled Matt Cassel. He was a starter. So that place can get really, really cold. We'll come back. We'll talk to Teresa Walker. We'll get into a bunch of stuff, including the Titans, with her. She's with the Associated Press. By the way, congratulations to Curtis Bacon, who won the tickets for You Just Made the List. Pick 6 coming up in the final hour. Teresa, to wrap up the third hour of Darren and Donick. That's next.
Okay, Teresa.
No, she never comes.
Hey, wow. What a nice surprise.
She usually doesn't hustle down here.
All right, guys. Good morning, Teresa. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You have a free bowl of soup with that sweater?
What do you got, Teresa?
All right.
What do you got, a little?
Yeah, I left the other stuff.
That's okay. You got to take your time, Teresa. A little selfie stick.
Hey.
Oh, come on. What is it? Go ahead. Put the thing on there. Go ahead.
Hold it, man.
Come on. Give it a try.
Come on.
Don't rush it.
I'm nervous, Teresa. You can handle it.
I can handle it. It'll stay there. That's.
Oh. Gonna have to steady hand now. Amazon.
Walgreens.
Now wait a minute. We need to clarify one thing. Though.
BFFs.
The free bowl of soup Caddyshack reference was not directed at Teresa.
No,
it was one of our colleagues here at the station.
Buck.
Mr. Buck Rising, who had not seen the movie, had no idea what he was talking about.
Teresa, who has your BFF told you he's going to hire as the OC?
Well, I have not gotten that information from Mike, but then again, I haven't had, you know, we haven't had a chance to ask him what his new offensive coordinator is going to be since Matt LaFleur was hired by the Packers as their new coach. So, yeah, I'd love to have that question. And I tell you guys, I love that piece that Justin put together and tweeted out yesterday. I have added like 200 Twitter followers since he tweeted that out yesterday afternoon. So thank you to all my new followers, and thank you to Justin. And yeah, that was fun.
So your BFF hasn't told you who he's hiring? What?
Not yet. I tell you.
As he said, Teresa, what do you think?
Well, if he were asking my suggestion, you know, I'll say this. I'm out of my depth in this situation. I can make an argument, guys, that they stay in-house and maybe take a chance on somebody who's been there. You know, when Mike Mularkey replaced Ken Wisenhunt, kept Jason Michael around kind of for that reason, that voice that had been talking to Marcus Mariota. Do you keep some, you know, do you go with somebody who's on staff? Or do they have who they are wanting? This is the one thing. For people who are panicking, let's just not forget that last year when Mike Vrabel was filling out his first coaching staff, it was a lot like this. You know, we got a couple of releases with, you know, we heard a name here or there, but mostly they controlled both the announcement and the timing of when they shared who they were putting on staff. I know that Titan fans are probably getting a little itchy. You know, there's not a lot of football. We're all waiting for the conference championships on Sunday. But, you know, there's not a lot of hurry for two reasons. Either you know exactly who it's going to be, or two, You're waiting for somebody to be cleared up and freed up either this Sunday or 2 weeks from Sunday. So maybe it's somebody who's currently working right now. So if that's the case, maybe it's somebody from the Rams staff, you know, if you're wanting to kind of continue in the mode where Matt LaFleur came from. Mm.
Anybody who's known McVay, had breakfast with him, said hi to him, hire him. By the way, credit to Justin Beasley of Channel 4 WSMV. That little montage of you and your BFF. Scott Linehan, by the way, is out as the OC in Dallas. Cowboys OC out, Scott Linehan. So there's possibly another candidate. John DeFilippo, we thought maybe a candidate. He's now in Jacksonville. We've seen some OCs get hired here. I would think if it was in-house, just me, we would already know. It probably, to me, it makes more sense that it's maybe somebody from the Patriots or the Rams or Saints or Chiefs, oh my, wouldn't you think?
Well, it absolutely makes sense, Darren, because, you know, those are some offenses that put up an awful lot of points this year. And, you know, for all the talk about defense, and it's great to have a great defense, but as what we're seeing right now, the four teams still standing can put lots and lots of points on the board. So, you know, that absolutely. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we got a, you know, release Tuesday and, you know, it could be a name that nobody has thought of. I mean, that's the one thing. Mike Vrabel has done things, you know, he and John Robinson are, you know, doing things the way they see fit, and they're not being influenced by what others might think. So that's the one thing I can almost say with a guarantee is we might end up actually being caught by surprise by who ends up getting this job.
I'm going to put you on the spot. You're the general manager. What would you do with number 8? How would you handle this moving forward?
Well, you've got him under contract for this year. And, you know, so you don't have to do anything before training camp. You could actually say, you know, hey, Marcus, we're going to go put some more pieces around you. You know, we've seen an awful lot that we like from you, but, you know, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. You know, show us what you've got. But I can also make an argument. We've seen an awful lot. It's my job as John Robinson to go get some more pieces to help him out and, you know, get another wide receiver to replace the experienced guy that they lost in Rishard Matthews when he decided he just had to leave this team. You know, Delanie Walker will be coming back. Jonnu Smith absolutely took a step after Delanie was hurt. But, you know, you need a couple more pieces. Fix the interior of that offensive line somehow, you know, whether it's just making sure that these guys spend the whole offseason together and get that chemistry back down together with the way that they're asking them to block now in this new offense. But they've got to be better. You know, let's face it. You know, Marcus Mariota didn't have a ton of help. And, you know, Derrick Henry, as great as his season ended up being, didn't come on until the month of December. So, you know, there's a lot of things around Marcus that can be better. And guess what? Maybe they follow the Jaguars situation and do a contract for 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years. There's nothing that says you have to go out and give your quarterback a 5 to 6, 7 year guaranteed contract, you know, or huge signing bonuses. You can pay him for a couple years and still, you know, give yourself some time to find out if this is your guy. You don't have to give him a monster contract immediately.
Teresa, when does the team actually start activities again? It's a good while now, right? Because I remember Mike Vrabel telling us this last year that there's really nothing a new coach can do with the players for a good while.
Oh, absolutely, Willie. It'll be in April, and looking at the calendar, probably either the 15th or the 22nd of April. So, yeah, what a coach would be doing right now, a new coordinator, you know, going through the book, figuring out, working the, you know, the playbook, figuring out if you want to do different language, you know, tweaking that, streamlining, whatever you might want to do as a new coordinator. That's what you'd be doing right now, going over film of the players from this last season, you know, looking at strengths and weaknesses and figuring. So you wouldn't be working with players, you know, so you'd be working with the other coaches, you'd be breaking down film, and you're doing a lot of self-scouting kind of things. And, you know, probably, you know, let's face it, the scouts right now are going to be real busy prepping for the draft and free agency. You know, you might pitch in a little bit there, but this is all kind of internal self-scouting mode at this point. So, you know, you need to have something ready in mid to late April for the players to start learning at that point. But, this is kind of the, I know it's the busy time, hot stove league essentially for the NFL, looking ahead to free agency and the combine and who's going to be available in the draft. But for everything else, it's kind of on the back burner.
So if they do take their time, even if, let's say they take until after the Super Bowl, there would still be ample time for a new offensive coordinator to do what he needed to do before he actually starts working with players.
Absolutely, essentially 2.5 months. So that's in an NFL time, that's a long time to put something together. Because let's face it, all these playbooks, it's language that differentiates them. There's so many similarities that go through all the different schemes. It's just a matter of what are you putting into your book and what are you prioritizing. You have everything in there almost. It's what you choose to call out of it. So, and what language you use to describe it. Is it two-eye spider banana? Or, John Gruden's favorite saying? Or is it, are you going to call it Black 22, 14 right? It comes down to that. And, making sure that it's, sometimes simple enough that your players can learn it. And that's why I think everyone's so interested. Is Marcus Mariota going to have to learn a completely new playbook? Or is he going to be able to have something that he can try to build on going into this crucial fifth season?
Well, there's no question he's got to be multilingual, based on all the different playbooks he's had to memorize over the years.
Well, absolutely. Back under Ken Wisenhunt, he said some of those play calls were, up to 14 words. Can you imagine having to spit that out in a 45-second time clock? So,
wow.
So sometimes simpler is better. But, coaches in any sport, you give them a little time to be thinking, they're going to get creative, and creative oftentimes leads to overthinking.
Who do you like this weekend?
Boy, I tell you, I really like the Chiefs at home because the fact that the Patriots, this is just going to be the eighth time that they played on the road in the postseason under Belichick and Brady, and they're 3-4 in that stretch. Now, absolutely, they could get to 500. They're riding the nobody, everyone thinks we're done and we're old and we're toast mode, and that's a mighty motivator for them. But, the Chiefs, they've got Andy Reid and, guys, that win that they had last weekend was the first in Kansas City since January 1994 with Joe Montana in the postseason at home. So, they've got some motivation for themselves as well. I like the Saints in the other game. I know the Rams are really cooking. That run game looks so impressive against the Cowboys, but the Saints are going to be at home in the dome. And I'm just not going against Breeze right now, as good as he's been this season, throwing the ball, completing passes, and the talent that he's got around him. So I'm thinking it's going to be Chiefs and Saints in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
PK Subban making his mark on the hockey world. Do you know anything about this book?
I do. It's a biography for children grades 3 through 9 that I wrote last spring. And I just got my copy on Wednesday. But if you're a PK fan, a Predators fan, or you've got an eager young hockey player who wants to read about PK, it's online. You can go find it on Amazon, $9.99 for the paperback copy. And I tell you this, I've been covering PK since the Predators traded for him. I learned so much writing this book. I didn't talk to him. I used all the material that was out there, but interesting young man, and I tell you, it's a fun book. Pictures, it's really a fun little thing. So all about PK, go to Amazon.
How did that all come about?
Well, a colleague of mine has written a couple of books for this company in Minnesota, and they contacted him about doing something on PK. He said, why don't you talk to Teresa? And I said, well, why not? Let's try it.
Awesome. Well, best of luck with that. That's really cool.
It is. It's really nice seeing my name on the cover of a book. I've had bylines from Australia to Ireland, but this is really cool.
Good. We'll periodically check in on that, and we'll continue getting the word out. Teresa, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, William and Darren.
All right. That is Teresa Walker with the Associated Press. And, yeah, she's got a book out, PK Subban, Making His Mark on the Hockey World. She said it's for kids. Grades 3 through 9.
Be perfect for the three of us.
Yeah. Hope it has lots of pictures. I'll love it. Fourth and final hour, pick 6 to kick it off. That's next.